Welcome to another broadcast of Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails in to dj@artistfirst.com. All past shows can be downloaded free and on demand at the Artist First website. Now let's take an honest look at college football in America today. Here's your hosts, Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, this week in college football will undoubtedly go down as one of the most monumental landmark weeks in college football. Unfortunately, not because of what went on the playing field. Obviously, we touched on it during last week's show, but we need to look at a little bit closer as how things unraveled at Penn State. Dad, I'll let you begin. What are your thoughts initially throughout the week on the way things were handled and ultimately where the Penn State scandal lies now?
Well, Rock, just to begin, and I know that it'll come up several times during the course of the show, I want to remind you that I asked you several weeks ago, could we go 1 week without someone giving college football a black eye? This situation at Penn State is not a black eye. This is a knockout. Another idol, basically a good man, not only falls off the top of the mountain, but lands, unfortunately, in a bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. And his fall or not, you know, Joe Pa takes a lot of people with him. Great people, admired icons, as all of us on rare occasion fall. But this is a big one.
Right.
And, you know, while we're on the subject, I did a little homework, and how great was he? Was he the best? You know, everybody loves Joe Pa, but how good is he? Let's take a look at some records. Joe Pa's average is 747. Won a lot of games. His batting average is 747. Woody Hayes, 761. Bobby Bowden, 750. Bo Schembechler at Miami and Michigan, 762. Bear Bryant at Alabama, listen to this, is 808. Overall, 760.
Wow.
Jim Tressel at Ohio State was 828. Unfortunately, he fell also. Now, I have one question. What do we do with Mike McQuarrie? Do you have any comments on that individual?
Well, you know, obviously people have begun to lose their jobs. McQuarrie's next. Again, I'm appalled at the initial core of this scandal, which was Jerry Sandusky. As you mentioned, a black eye to college football, this was a black eye to humanity. And I think the thing that disappoints me the most is the way some of this has been handled. McQuarrie, instead of meeting with his team, I think either called or sent them a letter and said he was done coaching. I think he owes some people an explanation. You know, people are under a misconception of McQuarrie. He was not some 18, 19, 20, even 21-year-old grad assistant like a lot of people start out. He was 28 years old. There are people that have served 10 years in the military. There are people that have children, many children, that responsibility, jobs. When you're 28 years old, you know right from wrong. You're not a young kid. So I think he deserves to lose his job. The other thing that disappoints me greatly, as you mentioned, we'll find out maybe the depth a little bit more as things unravel as far as what exactly Joe Paterno could have done. But I think when you're somewhere for 61 years, the Penn State Board of Trustees needs to handle things with a little more class. This man gave upwards to $10 million to their library. He stood for dignity and class, of course, until this unraveled. And what the trustees chose to do Wednesday evening was send a courier over to his house, knock on his door, hand him an envelope and say, here, call this number. And he calls the number, and he's informed over the phone that he's fired. Lack of class. Lack of class for a man that did a lot, irregardless of the way this comes out. Humiliating way to treat Joe Paterno. The other, go ahead.
In addition to that, a lot of athletic programs have been dragged down by behavior of either athletes or coaches.
Mm-hmm.
This does not drag the athletic program. It drags down the whole entire administration from top to bottom, starting with the president, going all the way down to the water boys and everybody involved at the university.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the greatest tragedy that's ever occurred in college football. Now, the situation of Coach Sandusky doing what he did is only the nucleus of the problem. All of the things that followed, the negligence of the reporting, the treatment of the guilty, is a national tragedy. It goes way beyond Nittany Lion football.
Right.
It's just an embarrassment to the entire state, especially Penn State University, and it should have never, ever happened.
Yeah, and one other thing, and then we'll get to the performance on the field. The other group that needs to back off is the media. You know, last night I saw on TV, it was hours after Penn State's loss to Nebraska, and the media is camped out on Joe Paterno's lawn. Now, what is he going to do? He's not going to come out of his house. The reporting as far as what his lack of proper treatment of this situation was has been beaten into the ground. Leave the man alone. I'll be honest with you. My fear for this whole thing is very similar to what happened to Bear Bryant back in the early 80s, is within a year of Bear Bryant stepping down from coaching, which had been his livelihood for 50 years, he passed away. And it's my deep fear that Joe Paterno may find the same fate. So I hope I'm wrong, but I think he just loved it and lived it, and I know he was removing himself from the situation, and whether he would have retired at the end of this year or next year, it's my fear that he becomes so idle within the next year that happens to him. So I hope I'm wrong. Well, let's get to some performances on the field. Deb, who are your top performers this week on the field?
On the field this week, I have to go with Casey Pochal, from quarterback from TCU. He threw 24 completions for 37 attempts, 473 yards. You know, it's a TCU upset Boise State by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman threw passes in the first half for 75 yards, 74 yards, 69 yards. And then he throws a 25-yarder with 105 left in the game. He throws for 5 total touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And my hat's off to Coach Gary Patterson, going for 2 instead of settling for a tie.
Mm-hmm.
They win 36-35 over Boise State.
Right.
However, how about Kellen Moore of Boise State in a losing cause? He goes 28 for 38, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns. With the way things happened across the globe in other football games, does that put Kellen Moore back in the Heisman picture?
Possibly. Anybody else?
Those are my heroes of the week.
All right. Well, you know, at the end of each show, you and I pick games, and I guess if we went back and added things up, you might have the upper hand. We go back and forth. But I was pretty adamant about the way Oregon was going to treat Stanford. I talked about Oregon speed. Hats off to Oregon. I mean, not only did they come out and blast number four Stanford at Stanford, a couple things stood out. First of all, they score to open the game. And on the road against the number four team in the country, they go for two and get it. Then, later on in the game, they go for it twice on fourth down and score touchdowns. And one was like fourth and 12, and the other one was fourth and 6. Their team speed not only beat Stanford, they beat them up, and they humiliated them. And to answer your earlier question about the Heisman, I don't think Andrew Luck lost any ground in the Heisman, but he was settling for shorter passes. If you look at his inability to go down the field, it was simply because Oregon was faster in every aspect of the game, offense, defense, special teams, the tempo. You know, I think when you are forced to play Oregon, you think with a quarterback like Andrew Luck, you can play fast. And what playing fast does to teams that run out of the eye and aren't used to that is it makes you make mistakes faster. And that's what Stanford did.
And also, I don't think Andrew Luck had the time he's accustomed to having.
No.
Them blitzing guys from the ends just made him uncomfortable the entire evening.
Right. And, you know, you look at LaMichael James, the way he ran, and we talked earlier in the day, he's lucky if he's 5'9". I don't even know if he is. But he can run behind those big hogs that they have on that line, and they just block you to death. And they have a fullback that comes downhill sometimes. They have tight ends that go in motion and crack people and trap people. They are a handful, and I don't know what else they can do to make a statement to say, we deserve to play LSU for another shot more than anybody. I know Oklahoma State's up there. Boy, I'll tell you what a performance. My other performance, stars of the week, I got to give it again to Case Keenum from Houston, but let me give you a little hint. Houston, overall, you're number one in the country in passing. We get it. You're number one in the country in scoring. We get it. But you know what? Look at your schedule. You're not getting any higher. Stop throwing 70 on people. It's not impressing anybody. They threw, I think they were up 42 or 45-10 and threw two more touchdown passes, Keenum throwing one of them. That's inexcusable. I've seen coaches do it before, whether you got to tell your kids to, with class, run out of bounds. I don't care if you put in freshmen up and down, fourth string, fifth string, guys out of position. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody, needs to score 70 the way they're doing it. It's sort of humiliating. Now, the next 2 weeks, they're going to play teams that are a little better. But Houston, knock it off.
Well,
and then finally, go ahead, Dad.
You make an excellent point. They're number 11 this week. Where are they going to go? Are they going to go ahead of Stanford, Clemson, Arkansas, Georgia Tech? No way. Or Virginia Tech, I'm sorry. There's no way. So they can pile up all the points they want. They're at number 11. Unless one of the top 10 get beat, they're going to stay at number 11.
Exactly.
They have nowhere to go.
Right. You know, I also got to give it to, not only we talk about performances of athletes, but I got to give it to the South Carolina coaching staff. You know, I've talked all year long about the decision that Coach Spurrier made to get rid of Stephen Garcia, which I completely, completely back, respect, and support. But now they get, you know, their second-string quarterback, Connor Shaw, in, and he's a young kid. Last week he gets a concussion. The week before that, they lose Marcus Lattimore, which is my Heisman dark horse. He's a stud. Where are they going to score? How are they going to score? As a matter of fact, I didn't think they would win this past week against Florida, and they did. I like the way Spurrier coaches. He made a comment yesterday after the game that after he took the job, all his buddies in Florida were saying, now why are you going to South Carolina? You're going to get your brains beat in by Florida. You're going to get your brains beat in by Georgia. And he said, you know what, fellas? I don't think so. He's proven everybody wrong. That guy can coach, whether you like him or not. Spurrier can coach.
He's 8-2. He could coach.
Yeah, yeah. And he, and they're rolling, and you know, they continue to play well. We'll look at them a little closer, either at the end of the show this week or down the road. And then finally, BJ Daniel from South Florida. They had a nice win, I believe it was Thursday night or Friday night, and he had 254 yards passing, and he also had 117 yards rushing, and that was against Syracuse. You know, so those are our top performers. And again, you know, we like the fact that we're able to talk about things on the field. Well, hey, we're up against our first break. We're going to take a real short break. When we come back, we'll have some more interesting things in the world of college football. So please stay with us. You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com. We will be right back.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, as you know, my dad loves to talk about the numbers, and we missed that in the first segment, so we're going to hit it now. Dad, let it fly.
Well, once again, sports fans, football is so unpredictable. In the top 25, we had four games in which top 25 people were involved. So four of them had to go. Surprisingly, Stanford was one of them. Georgia Tech lost to Virginia Tech. Penn State, that was 8-1, lost to Nebraska. And Auburn lost to Georgia. So that's that. But there were two unranked teams that beat ranked teams. TCU, as we've discussed, beat Boise State 36-35, and that was a heartbreaker because you have to feel for the freshman kicker, missed a 39 field goal as time ran out. So that takes Boise State out of the unranked teams. Now, Missouri wins over Texas. Missouri was unranked. beat Texas 17-5, and it's only the second win in the last 17 times they played that Missouri won. Mm-hmm. Now you have the undefeated. You had five of them. Now there are only three left. Boise State lost. Stanford lost. That was a good call, by the way, Rock. You predicted Oregon would probably beat them.
Yep.
Now, out of the five undefeated, there's only three left. Houston, mm-hmm. LSU, and Oklahoma State. Now, a Boise State home winning streak of 35 games went by the wayside. And my favorite statistics are involving one-loss teams. There were nine of them. Cincinnati got beat by West Virginia. Penn State got beat by Nebraska. All the other one-loss teams won. There were nine one-loss teams. Two of them lost, of course, Cincinnati and Penn State. Ironically, both of them lost by 3 points, and two are out and two are in. So mm-hmm. back on my list next week in the one-loss column will be Boise State and Stanford.
Right.
And that concludes the numbers of another exciting, unexpected football weekend.
All right. Now, during this segment, we've decided to do some things differently. We've had a variety of things we do now, and this week we're going to talk about different coaches we feel are on the hot seat. Ed, start. Give me one. Give me a coach that's on the hot seat, in your opinion.
Well, my first choice is Ron Zook at Illinois. I know he's in a relatively tough conference. If not tough, at least there's equality in teams.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost six last year. He lost four Big Ten games in a row this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to lose to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to beat Minnesota.
Maybe.
Now he's got, he'll beat Minnesota. He's got Nathan Shelley at quarterback. Hey, look at who he lost to. Ohio State and Purdue. That should never happen.
Right.
That's a coach that's in trouble.
Right.
Even though he hasn't been there that many years, no excuses for that record.
Well, but he does the same thing every year. He starts out 4-5, 6-0, gets everybody all jacked up, and then they get whacked every week in October, and they thud down to earth. And, you know, I mean, Ohio State's staggering at best this year. They pretty much dominated them, even though the score was a little closer. They get beat by Purdue. They get beat by close game by Penn State at home, and then they go on the road to Michigan and get absolutely throttled. So, you know, he does this all the time, and I agree with you. I mean, he did it at Florida. He went in there, got them all charged up, won a few games, and then thud. I'm going to give you one. Skip Holtz, South Florida. They now stand at 5-4, and, you know, they start out the season by beating Notre Dame. Everybody was saying about, oh, okay, well, since he's a Holtz, let's anoint him the next coach at Notre Dame since he just beat him. It was a lightning game, rain everywhere. They win by 3. Notre Dame at the time was 16th. Everybody's praising him. Then they win 3 more. Okay, they're 4-0. Then they lose 4 in a row. I think he's going to get a little bit of heat. Go ahead with your next one.
Well, my next one is, once more, a gentleman. Frank Spaziani at Boston College. His two-year record prior to this year was 16-11. This year he's 2-7, and at Boston College, that's not good enough. But I've got a surprise for you about Boston College coming up later in the show. My next candidate on the bubble is Frank Spaziani at Boston College.
All right. I'm going to go with Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. You know, a lot of people had them winning the Legends division and playing really well, and they've just been up and down. I mean, they stand right now at 3-3 in the Big Ten. I mean, they lost the in-state rivalry, Iowa State. That's happened quite a bit under the Ferentz watch. They have a great comeback. They probably should have lost to Pittsburgh. Then they lose to Penn State. They lose to Minnesota. and then they just got whacked by Michigan State. An interesting stat I saw, as of right now, if you look at, I believe it's the last 20 games where a team is favored by 10 or more. And I think Wisconsin is 20-0. I think Ohio State is 19-1. And Iowa is something like 11-9. It's ridiculous. The games where they should have won big and the games where they've been upset. So certainly Ferentz is taking a little bit of heat. And, you know, rightfully so, maybe. You got any others?
I have one more. Coach in preseason said, we will win football games. This team is capable of playing in a bowl. Sorry, Paul Wolf of Washington State.
Mm.
For 3 years, he's 5-32. This year, he's 3-6. And in that conference, which is extremely tough, you still have to win more games. So I think he's another guy on the bubble, probably has a great contract, but I don't think you're going to tolerate that schedule and those numbers of losses.
No. Well, hey, I got another one for you. And this one, it's getting hotter and hotter. And that's Mack Brown at Texas. You mentioned the stat. What did you say it was that Missouri's only beaten them, what, a couple times in the last how many? What was the stat earlier on that game, you remember?
3-17, I believe. Let's see.
Wow.
That's the only second win in the last 17 times they played.
Yeah. And, you know, people were talking about that a little bit. I know he's got some young kids, but he starts out the season 4-0. Then they have back-to-back losses. The Oklahoma game was a destruction. They got whacked. They hung tough with Oklahoma State for a while. They come back and beat a horrible Kansas team, a horrible Texas Tech team. And then they go on the road to Missouri and score 5 points. Are you kidding me? That's like a baseball score, 17-5. No excuse for that. I think Mack Brown is feeling a little more heat. You know, they finish with a pretty tough schedule. They play Kansas State. They play at Texas A&M Thanksgiving night. That's not going to be easy. Those kids are always charged up there, Texas A&M, the 12th man. Then they finish at Baylor with Baylor's offense. Wow, look out. I don't know if he can survive. I think maybe it's a good time for Mack Brown to step away, but sometimes these coaches are stubborn. You never know.
Well, at 6-3, you know, the people in Texas aren't going to tolerate that. You know, some places 6-3 is a good record, but not at Texas, you know, not at Oklahoma.
Right.
At Alabama.
And it's the way you lose.
That's right. And you're used to winning. You don't like losing seasons. We have situations in the country now where, due to circumstances beyond the control of the coaching situation, there remain circumstances where you don't expect them to win. But when you're at Texas, you're in Oklahoma, you're in Alabama, you're expected to win, and 6-3 is not acceptable.
Right. And I got one more, which is, you know, singing the same song as these ones before, although this guy's a little younger. Rick Neuheisel, interesting situation at UCLA. I wonder if they're going to have the guts to pull the trigger. He's a graduate. He was a quarterback there. He actually did a phenomenal job there as a quarterback. He's coached before in college. He's coached before in the pros. He stepped up and said he's still the man. You know, he starts out the season losing to Houston, which we've seen what they're all about. He gets drilled by Texas, drilled by Stanford. Anybody they've played ranked, he's lost except for Arizona State. And then losing 31-6 to a pretty average Utah team. And right now, UCLA is pretty much out of it for the South and the Pac-10. And again, I just want to, you know, he keeps saying I'm the right guy for the job, you know, and I bleed UCLA, which was completely understandable. We see that all over the country where guys have gone back to coach their alma maters, and, you know, they have that passion for it. But again, UCLA is one of those storied programs, and if they continue to falter, you wonder how long they're going to put up with that.
Absolutely. And, you know, giving up 49 points to Texas, 45 points to Stanford, 48 points to Arizona, that's unacceptable in any college game.
Well, yeah, and then you also have, you know, the fact that, you know, they finish against crosstown rival USC, and if that gets ugly again, you know, I know a couple years ago USC was number one, I believe, or two, ready to play in the big dance, and got UCLA pulled off the upset. You kind of wonder if that happens, that'll cool it off a little bit, but you know, you never know. So, hey, let's look at some coaches that have cooled their seats a little bit, so to speak. Guys that are in the clear for another year. Dad, who you got?
Well, nobody's sensational except Larry Fedora at Southern Mississippi. Preseason, he was ranked 45 in the country. He's 9-1 so far, ranked 22nd. He plays Alabama, Birmingham, and Memphis. So he's going to end up 11-1.
Right.
That's a commendable job for a person that was preseason ranked 45.
Yeah, yeah.
You got one?
Yeah, I got to go with, I got a few, but I'm going to first go with Mark D'Antonio. You know, I was one that thought they were sort of a flash in the pan. They had a great season last year. I think Coach D'Antonio was a great coordinator. I wasn't sure about his head coaching abilities, but they've had a great, great season. It looks like they're in position to be in that Big Ten championship game. And, you know, again, having that coach-quarterback relationship, you know, that doesn't hurt with having a guy like Kirk Cousins. But they've only had two losses this year, and I really think he's done a phenomenal job. And so I really like how cool his seat is right now, so to speak.
Yeah.
You got any others?
He's got Indiana and Northwestern left,
yeah.
So I don't think he has any trouble there. I got one more. You may not agree with this one. You know, Kevin Smith at Houston, he was preseason ranked 54 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 10-0, ranked 11th, and look who he has left. He's got SMU, Tulsa. He's going to be 12-0. Then what do we do with him?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right, absolutely. Well, the other one I got is, you know, and again, I was waiting for sort of the other shoe to drop, so to speak, because I know he was on the hot seat at the beginning of the year, and that's Mark Richt at Georgia. I mean, you know what? They start out the season going back-to-back losses, but one was to Boise State, and one was to South Carolina. And then they rip off eight straight wins, and, you know, they're now ranked number 15. They're going to end up winning probably their side of the conference because South Carolina has two losses, unless they stub their toe against Georgia Tech at the end of the year. But, I mean, they drill Auburn yesterday 45-7. You know, they beat Florida. They've had some nice wins. Now, he does have a couple ranked teams left, but you know what? I think even a lot of the alums were looking for Rick to take a fall, and he's just sort of said, you know what? Not yet. I mean, they've played really, really well this year.
No, I don't think he's going to lose another game. He's got Kentucky left and Georgia Tech left. I don't see either one of them beating him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll tell you the other guy I really, really like, and that is he's growing on me more and more, is Steve Spurrier. I mean, you look at the job he's done with literally young quarterback losing his best offensive weapon. Sure, as I just mentioned, unless Georgia stumbles, you know, because if Georgia does lose, South Carolina wins the tiebreaker because they beat Georgia. But if they don't, you know, and they still have a tough, they sort of have a tune-up, why are we playing this one so late in the season against Citadel Saturday? But then they finished the season at home against Clemson. And boy, you talk about putting a stamp on a great season. If they could pull that off, and we'll talk more about that next week, but I really, really like the job that Spurrier's doing. As I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, people were wondering why he took that job and he's turned out some great quarterbacks. He's got a nice offense there, and actually they got a nice defense too. So I really got to give hats off to Spurrier at South Carolina.
Oh, I believe you, and I believe he's going to win two in a row. When you take a look at how Clemson is disappointed, I don't see them beating. I don't see them beating Spurrier at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? There's so many other young, you know, coaches we can talk about, or first-year coaches. You know, you look at the job that Jimbo Fisher's done at Florida State. They stumbled a little. But I'll tell you what he's doing right is he's winning those key games. You know, it's sort of like, you know, you want to keep the job at Florida State. You beat Miami and you beat Florida. They beat Miami. They got to go on the road in a couple weeks. And beat Florida, you know, but Florida State's going to end up, well, if Clemson stumbles, they have an outside chance of getting in that championship game, but probably not because Clemson wins the tiebreaker. But you know, you got to like the job Jimbo Fisher's doing after replacing a legend, Bobby Bowden. That's tough to do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, what we're going to do is take our final break. When we come back, we're going to look ahead. It's hard to believe we're down to 2 weeks with the season left. You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com. We'll take our final short break and be right back.
When tornadoes raked the South, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. As communities lay in ruins, it was the hams who let their families know their loved ones were safe. When the power and cell phones went out, the hams were there, helping rescuers get the message through. Wherever catastrophes strike, amateur radio is ready. Amateur radio works when other communications don't. Contact the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, on the web at emergencyradio.org. That's emergencyradio.org.
You've heard of being named All-Conference, but only one organization has earned the classification of being All-World, the United States Navy. Whether it's humanitarian efforts, fighting terrorism, or protecting America's freedoms, the Navy is the team that helps us all win big. To learn how you can make it to the big league, call 1-800-USA-NAVY or visit Navy.com. Navy. Accelerate your life.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
All right, as you know, we like to look ahead to the big games of next week, and we are going to start out with Kansas State and Texas. Dad, what do you think?
Well, you know, Kansas State scored 53 points in Texas A&M, but unfortunately, in a loss, A&M scored 50. Mm-hmm. Texas lost to a 4-5 Missouri. Even though Texas is at home, I don't think they could do it. I don't think they're up with to it. I think they're, I've got to go with Kansas State.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, you know, you look at the Texas, you know, they're reeling after that loss. And, you know, with how dynamic Kansas State's offense is, you know, you got to give it hats off to Bill Snyder. It's his second tour of duty, so to speak, there. I mean, they've had, you know, some disappointing losses, but they can really score some points. And Texas is sort of prone to giving up points. You know, they gave up 55 to Oklahoma. They gave up 38 to Oklahoma State. They gave up 20 to Texas Tech. And then, of course, 17-5 debacle at Missouri. So I think Kansas State's going to win that game, and I think they're going to win it easily. Our next game we're going to look at is Oklahoma and Baylor. What do you think?
Wow. Oklahoma had a week off, and Baylor beat Kansas 31-30 in overtime. Now, Bob Stoops gets upset on the road once a year. It won't happen this year. I believe that Oklahoma will beat them. I think they'll beat them handily.
Well, I'd have agreed with you a week and a day ago, but I think after the injury to Ryan Broyles, I think that takes a little bit of the steam out of Oklahoma's offense. However, with Landry Jones and some of the other guys picking up the slack, I do think they win, even though it's on the road. I think it's going to be close. Again, you know, Stoops is known for that offense, but their defense, you know, the way they held Texas, you know, to 17 points, they've played well. I think they've played against some tough teams this year. You know, Florida State at the time was number 5. They held Florida State to 13 points. They held Kansas State to 17. So I really think they're going to hold down Robert Griffin III, even though he's dynamic and puts up some big numbers. I think Oklahoma wins. I think it's a little closer than they'd like it to be, but they take control at the end. How about Nebraska-Michigan? This is interesting.
This is very interesting. You know, Nebraska beat Penn State in that emotional game. Michigan beat Illini, but Denard Robinson, you know, he got hurt. How bad is he hurt? I believe his throwing arm was hurt. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe so, yeah.
Well, you know, they're at home. Nebraska has probably not played in a crowd that large. If Denard Robinson plays, the Wolverines will win. If he doesn't play, it'll be a toss-up, I think. Nebraska will win, but right now, if I had to bet 25 cents, I'd put it on the Wolverines in the Big House.
Yeah, you know, again, a week ago, I was wavering a little bit. Michigan, you know, stumbled, and they've played up and down offensively. But I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not impressed with Nebraska's defense. You know, they gave up 38 points to Washington. They're average. They gave up 29 points to Fresno State. They're average. They gave up 27 points to an Ohio State team that didn't score very many, hasn't scored very many, only scored 17 on Illinois, only scored 20 yesterday against Purdue. They gave up 28 points in a loss to Northwestern. I agree with you. You know, Michigan's playing some good defense. I think Michigan plays well enough to win a close one. Again, disappointing season for Nebraska, I think. But as you've mentioned, you know, I think they thought they'd come in the Big Ten and do a little better. But, hey, that happens. We're going to throw one in there that probably isn't going to be a very good game. But I'll tell you why I threw it in a little bit. Dad, Penn State, Ohio State.
Well, many times in away games, Ohio State forgets to get off the bus. And they did that last week. With all the controversy and all the bad situations on the banks of the Olentangy, you know, they haven't done really that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So at home with 105,000 screaming fans, I think Ohio State is gonna find a way to win. However, they got to play. Their performance against Purdue was absolutely pathetic.
Right.
They've had some real good games and even lost a game or two where they played respectable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at home with that haunting Purdue disaster, mm-hmm. I think Ohio State will find a way to win.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm not going to spend much more time other than saying I agree with you. But here's, this is interesting. If Jim Tressel was still at Ohio State and Joe Paterno was still at Penn State, the game next week in Columbus would be the highest win total combined of two opposing head coaches this year in all of college football, if not close to in the history of college football. There would have been more than 650 head coaching wins between these two guys. That's staggering. And you know what the win total is going to be next week between the two head coaches? Six. And they all belong to Luke Fickell. And that just is so unbelievable when you look at what could have been. The final game, unless you, Dad, you got a comment on that?
Well, you know, it's a tragedy. Two great universities, two great football teams, and we have this tragedy on both situations where we have both head coaches watching from home,
right,
if they do. And, you know, the tragedy of it, of all this is two well-respected, fabulous, fabulous people,
yep,
getting themselves in trouble.
Right.
And the thing we forget is that both Penn State and Ohio State are outstanding academic institutions.
Right.
They're not only football teams. They're great university, and unfortunately, a lot of people judge your university by how your football team does or what reputation your football team has.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy, but they have to play the game. I think Ohio State will find a way to win.
All right, the next game we're going to look at is USC traveling to Oregon. What do you think?
Well, Oregon's at home. LaMichael James is on a roll. You know, if that Oregon defense, as you said, beat Andrew Luck, there is no chance for USC. Oregon will beat them. They have to stay high. Their coaching was remarkable against Stanford. And if all those things fall in place, I don't think it'll be close. I think Oregon will bury them.
Yeah, I think they're going to take control. I mean, I think it's a real dangerous game for Oregon because coming off the big emotional thing, but I think they find a way to win. One other interesting thing, Dan, before we go on, did you happen to see during the game yesterday, they flashed that the founder and CEO of Nike, who graduated from Oregon and then went to, I believe it was business school at Stanford, he's given $300 million to Oregon and $150 million to Stanford. That's staggering. That's unbelievable.
It sure right. is, and what a gesture. He could have stayed home
yeah.
counting his money, but he voluntarily shared his wealth to the universities where he got his education. Almost
yep.
brought me to tears.
Yeah. All right, we got a couple minutes left, and you got something else, don't you?
Always have something to add on, and it's always local. Sport fans, down the road from where I reside is Alliance, Ohio, Mount Union College. Coach Larry Karras won his sixth in a row consecutive undefeated season. No matter who you are, no matter who you play, one time this year they almost got upset, but nobody's touched them in 6 years. And then secondly, closer to where I reside, Youngstown State University, unranked, beat number one North Dakota State in their division. So my hat's off to them. That's what makes the game of football, college football, so desirable to watch and follow. You never know what's going to happen. You have to play the game. Every week is exciting. Every week there are upsets. Every week there are surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Please, football teams, sport fans, give me one week where someone doesn't cause a black eye. I think you had another one, Rock, didn't you? A black eye?
Yeah, there was a problem at Illinois. Trelon Henry got shot in the hand, and the reason he got shot in the hand was because he went to a party to get some of his teammates out of trouble. Now, he's out for the year. Now, I know you're college kids, but you know, you lose a game, and you should want to chill a little bit instead of going out to a party. So let's see if we could start a streak next week of no stories off the field. What do you say?
I agree with you 100%. It's about time. 10, 15, 20 years ago, it never happened. Maybe
right.
Once or twice a year, now it's once or twice a week.
Right. And, hey, just on your stat there about Larry Karras, for those of you out there that aren't familiar, just Google his name and look at his record. That speaks for itself. It's unbelievable. You couldn't even create something that remarkable, and he continues to win. He continues to have a juggernaut there at Mount Union. Well, hey, that's going to bring to close this week of Rocco Fiume Football. Again, you have a chance to download our past shows and listen to those or the other great shows that Artist First has. Please join us again next week. We're down to 2 weeks. We'd love for you to join us. Send us emails if you need to. I want to thank my dad for his great insight. Have a great week of college football. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, you college football fans, you just finished listening to Fiume Football on Artist First Radio. Coming up after the CBS News, it's High School Football America. We have the number one high school football program in the country. It's hosted by Jeff Fisher. And if you hang around about 3 minutes after the news is finished, you'll find out why that show is so popular. Yeah, you'll find out who's going to be recruited and the top athletes in the nation at the high school level. You're listening to Artist First Radio.